It has ever been thus. After all, if support for the war made one objectively right-wing, then Mother Jones was a rabid right-winger too. This should be a familiar dynamic today, as support for the war in Iraq is all it takes to be a right-winger in many circles. Mussolini on occasion acknowledged that fascism was perceived as a movement of the right, but he never failed to make it clear that his inspiration and spiritual home was the socialist left. "You hate me today because you love me still," he told Italian socialists. "Whatever happens, you won't lose me. 12 years of my life in the party ought to be sufficient guarantee of my socialist faith. Socialism is in my blood." Mussolini resigned his editorship of Avanti, but he could never resign his love of the cause. "You think you can turn me out, but you will find I shall come back again. I am and shall remain a socialist, and my convictions won't never change. They are bred into my very bones." Nevertheless, Mussolini was forced to quit the party organization. He joined up with a group of pro-war radicals called the Fascio Autonomo di Azione Revolutionaria, and he quickly became their leader. Again, Mussolini had not moved to the right. His arguments for entering the war were made entirely in the context of the left and mirrored, to no small extent, the liberal and leftist arguments of American interventionists such as Woodrow Wilson, John Dewey, and Walter Lippmann. The war, he and his fellow apostates insisted, was against the reactionary Germans and the Austro-Hungarian Empire, a war to liberate foreign peoples from the yoke of imperialism and advance the cause of socialist revolution in Italy, a true proletarian nation. Mussolini founded a new newspaper, Il Popolo d'Italia. The name itself, The People of Italy, is instructive because it illustrates the subtle change in Mussolini's thinking and the first key distinction between socialism and fascism. Socialism was predicated on the Marxist view that workers, as a class, were more bound by common interests than any other criteria. Implicit in the slogan, "Workers of the World Unite," was the idea that class was more important than race, nationality, religion, language, culture, or any other opiate of the masses. It had become clear to Mussolini that not only was this manifestly not so, but it made little sense to pretend otherwise. If Sorel had taught that Marxism was a series of useful myths rather than scientific fact, why not utilize more useful myths if they're available? "I saw that internationalism was crumbling," Mussolini later admitted. It was utterly foolish to believe that class consciousness could ever trump the call of nation and culture. The sentiment of nationality exists and cannot be denied. What was then called socialism was really just a kind of socialism, international socialism. Mussolini was interested in creating a new socialism, a socialism in one state, a national socialism, which had the added benefit of being achievable.